The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. 6 a.m. on a Friday morning, the 15th of October, 2021. Good old 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Clearing and cold. It was cold coming to work. It's 55 for the high today. Tomorrow on a Saturday, roll the bike out. Sunny and milder in 67. And look on Sunday, 75 degrees. A couple of things we're going to talk about. First of all, and this is Tom Mueller's last morning. Yesterday on episode 6 of The Shoot, I'm now watching it. Old radio guys telling stories with Jeff Hildebrand and then with Tom Mueller. And go to the website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, episode 6. Just click on The Shoot and it's there. Later in the morning, a Colorado Republican front website, Colorado Peak Politics, goes after our morning show for asking wrong questions on. Now, apparently there are such a thing as a wrong question, but it's jive. First of all, they don't spell my name right. It's not signed. There's no call letters that they give where I work. There's no time given when we're on the air. And now there's such a thing as a bad question. You can't ask. And they've done this before, and they're just a front. And we will talk about that. And the other one is the Dominion Voting Employee Defamation Lawsuit. And now this guy apparently leaves the courtroom and appears on another talk show, streaming show. And it's just crazy stuff. We'll play it all. In the meantime, there's no one better. Sunday mornings, his radio show, I've traveled in Middle East with him. It's as close as anybody I have to a priest, Father Andre Mahana. And I'll tell you what, Beirut and Lebanon have been now torn apart. I read the foreign press, and there's a currency collapse. There's hyperinflation. There's attacks on each other now. There's blackouts. It's amazing. And now there's been firefights. Father, good morning. Thanks for coming back up on the show.
Peter, good morning, and thank you for your sympathy and compassion with Lebanon. It is really sad what has happened yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hezbollah, and they're Shia, Sunni, and I know the Christian militias are back working. Take a second, and you were a little boy growing up in all this craziness, and now it's all back again. What's the principal cause for what's happened?
Well, the principal cause is Beirut explosion, which is the third largest bomb in the history of humanity. So you have Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then you have the Lebanon bomb, the Beirut explosion, you know. And funny enough, weird enough, actually, all three bombs happened in August, between August 4, August 6, and August 8. And Beirut explosion happened last year on 2020, August 4th. And there is this Lebanese judge who wanted to investigate and indict ministers, people in the government who were in charge. And, you know, the Lebanese cabinet is formed based on political affiliations to their own militias or their own religious parties that they represent. And it seems that three major names that the judge, I believe his name is Tariq, and his last name is Al-Bitar, the judge Tariq Al-Bitar, who was threatened. They wanted to take him out. Hezbollah said, you're not going to indict any minister that pertains to Hezbollah or any minister that pertains to the Shia, basically, group represented in the Lebanese government. The judge insisted. So Hezbollah made a clear statement with their leaders in front of the public, and for 2 weeks they campaigned and they said, listen, we're going to go down and a demonstration, and we're going to go to the Supreme Court in Lebanon and Beirut, and we're going to remove this judge if the Lebanese government, who was just actually formed about 2 weeks ago, does not take an action and secede this actual judge from the case of the Beirut explosion. Lebanese government did not. The president of the republic, to the surprise of everybody, and for good tactics, did not. He said, let the law manage itself. And if you want to appeal the decision of the court, you may appeal it as a political party. But we're not going to accept interfering with the judicial system in Lebanon. So they ended up going on the streets. And Peter, as you know, our team in Lebanon have access to tons of videos. You have hundreds, if not thousands, of all men, coming on walking from Al-Dahi area, which is the headquarters of Hezbollah in Beirut. Well, you know that place, most likely. Mm-hmm. We've been near that area. And they walk towards the most inhabited areas of Beirut with the Christian houses, carrying machine guns, RPGs, mid-sized weapons, just like war, and putting on themselves. You can see it on our website. We sent an email yesterday, blessed. You can see them putting on themselves their army jackets and their ammunition and everything. And they called this a peaceful demonstration. And they went to the Christian areas, basically, in Beirut, and they instigated beating some people. And unfortunately, there was a tough response. The Christians and the people in their homes had to respond. They killed six of the instigators, basically Hezbollah members, it seems. And now there is this promise of revenge in the country. And they started doing illegal checkpoints on the streets, and they started burning some houses. And God help. God help, really. But this is basically what started.
Father Andre Mahan is with us, Maronite priest, Lebanese, one of my dearest friends. And he does a Sunday morning show at 6 that's very good. And could it be said, as we speak, there is now civil war in Lebanon, or close to civil war, replicating, although Hezbollah wasn't there the last time, although they were merging then, and the Christian militia. Just for the sake of the people in the audience, you're going to hear the term phalange. Are the phalange back in Lebanon, Father?
The Falange as a political party are always strong, and they never left. But you mean as a Christian resistance?
Yes.
You could call it more. You could call it more Lebanese forces. You know, today they speak more of the Lebanese forces being the Christian resistance, which contains members of the Falanges, members of the Lebanese resistance forces during the 1977 till 1987, 1990. So you would speak more about the Lebanese forces. But definitely the response that came to Hezbollah was from people who were the owners of the houses, because Hezbollah members, they broke into cars, they removed the people forcibly from their cars, they broke into houses, taking people away from their houses, they broke the windows of certain shops, and they started shooting at people. And the response they received politically, the Hezbollah candidate or members are saying, oh, these are the Lebanese forces, meaning the Christian forces, basically, known in the past as parts of the Falanges, as well as you know them historically since 1945. But in fact, it's honestly the owners of the houses. They just defended their own private properties inside Beirut.
But I know this from being with you. There are Christian sections and there's Muslim sections. And they're like, I don't even know how to say this, but there are ethnic neighborhoods. Maybe that's a good way to say it. And is that how that worked? That they would go into the Christian neighborhoods?
Right. You may say that the ethnic neighborhoods in Beirut are set by historical precedents of settlement. So you have, you know, Jewish neighborhood in Beirut, which is one of the oldest neighborhoods in West Beirut. You have the Christian neighborhood. And then in the west of Beirut, you have the Shia place. Then you have the Sunni places. Mm-hmm. You have the Palestinian camps, eventually a little bit further south in Beirut, between South Lebanon and Beirut itself. So, yes, and this way, Beirut is set in historical dimensions of settlement.
Yeah.
And these settlements, they coexist, they mix, actually. So in the area where there was a fight yesterday, it's not like literally Christian area. It's a predominantly Christian area, but you have a lot of Muslims living in that area. And you could see people being evacuated from their homes, like older ladies were taken down from their homes on wheelchair. You had Lebanese Red Cross and Lebanese Red Crescent working together to evacuate the people, the civil defense as well, working together. So it's a mix, but historically it's a settlement made by ethnicities and religions.
Andre Mahana, Sunday mornings at 6, best show indeed. As a reader of history and a bit of a traveler, at one time, Lebanon was the crown jewel of the Mediterranean. It was considered and is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful city. And how did all, because I always look at how things would happen. And now all of this insanity, the Iranians back Hezbollah, their Shia allies, the Christian militia, the Sunnis are hated by Shia. How did all of this come apart, Father, and how quick did it take to do it?
You know, you have to put Lebanon's wars in context of the nation's wars, religion's wars, and definitely economic pursuits of the West and of the Eastern empires. There is no way you can remove Lebanon from this equation. It is one of the three major geopolitical hot areas in the world. Another one, I'm afraid, will be Ukraine, for instance, or Eastern Europe, the Balkan areas. You know how it goes. Lebanon is in a similar boat, is in a similar place. But how did it drastically change this quickly? I think United States is changing. I'm not sure if we're waking up to having the same country, and this is affecting our policies and our existence in the Middle East.
I was going to say, because in spite of all the lunatic talk about Afghanistan, Afghanistan's now on the verge of a civil war as well. And that's predictable when the imperial power leaves, whether it's Ireland or India or wherever, then a civil war will break out. And I see, like, the path to destruction is similar, but the events are quite different. First of all, I know you read a lot of Middle East, and you're a wonderful historian. Do you think there is a civil war coming in Afghanistan? And then let's talk about the civil war in Lebanon. Those two, if you would, Father.
You're amazing. There is a civil war, but it's not civil war.
Right.
It is an ethno-religious war. It is an ethno-religious war.
Yes.
And it's going to be pocketed in Africa, in Afghanistan, near China. And China started. Mm-hmm. There is a huge ethno-religious war in China, but people don't talk about it. Against the Uyghurs, mm-hmm. against the Christians, the Mongols. Inside of China and around it, such war has existed for a while, actually. And in Lebanon, so ethno-religious war, I think it's a dimension of the global Third World War. We are.
Yes.
I would say since 2001, since 9/11, we have been in a global Third World War. Okay. But the more we are engaging in this small-pocketed ethno-religious wars, it seems that United States is giving up its principle of freedom, and it's dealing now with its foreign policy not based on freedom, not based on principles, but based on economy and some
American
philosophies.
That's American foreign policy. It's never, we're not the good guys, and we have this misnomer that we're the good guys. But in the world today, we're not viewed as the good guys.
Our lack of a proactive role causes in the world damages and local civil wars and ethno-religious wars. If we don't proactively engage in these nations and save their freedoms, their local makeup, and their right to prosperity, to law, to a good society, we will be causing major damages, and these damages might come back and haunt us as well.
That's the 20-year experience of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, and we're not the good guys. We want to believe it, and all these people get on Fox News and proclaim it, but the Afghans don't see us as the good guys. The Iranians don't see us as the good guys. The Iraqis don't see us as the good guys. I wonder what the Lebanese think of us, what they think of our country.
Well, you know, when we spoke to the cardinals in Lebanon and to the patriarchs, all of them were, we say in French the term méfiant. Mm-hmm. Meaning they were not trusting
the
United States.
Why
and
should
we were still exactly? And why to trust it? Because if it leaves the France halfway hanging, it works with the status quo based on pragmatism and based on economic interest. It doesn't regard religion. Mm-hmm. The blind spot in United States foreign policy is that it does not appreciate nor it will recognize ever the ethno-religious dimension of the people.
Well, Bush, when Bush said, it's not against, this is not against a war against Islam. And I thought, well, now it's over. You can't win. If you can't define an enemy, if you can't tell the truth, or just stay the hell away, which is the very best advice anybody can give anybody, stay away. Seemingly, history tells us that people want to govern themselves and want to live amongst people who are like themselves. And it's true. I mean, if you look at all the wars for national liberation in the Third World, always get back down, we don't want to be governed by a bunch of Europeans or Americans or whomever, and we want to live with ourselves. We want to choose our own ways. We want to have our own form of government. And somehow the multinationals or whomever it is think that we can interfere with that dynamic. And my God, Lebanon is certainly the best example of that. And now these guys are – how much of this is funded by the Iranians? How much did the Iranians play out in
– Well, I would say all of it.
I would not say based on nothing,
mm-hmm. based on information. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Iran was just in Lebanon mm-hmm. 1 week ago,
yes.
exactly 1 week ago, confiscated the major property of a golf club inside downtown Beirut mm-hmm. and signed a decree with the local municipality stating, oh, we want to build Lebanon a major electrical firm, basically, to give Lebanon electricity. What people do not know, Peter, I have to highlight how intelligent, how prudent, honestly you are, and how concerned you are. I have to highlight this to your listeners, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what you just said, Lebanon's Christians are doing their best to avoid a Sunni-Shia conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Lebanon's Christians, till today, are doing their best effort to mitigate and to remove from an equation and to try to avoid the world having a Shia-Sunni war. And this is what we will see in Afghanistan,
oh, yeah.
Peter.
Oh, sure.
This is what we'll see in Afghanistan. So the part of the Lebanese phalanges and Lebanese forces is actually working properly with a Sunni world around them and with the Shia population that goes from Syria, Lebanon, into mm-hmm. Iraq. All we're trying to say to the Shias, please stop being under the influence of Iran. Mm-hmm. One, and you're right, that's where Iran is sponsoring and is really paying for all of these activities.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they want access to the Mediterranean Sea.
Sure.
And the Sunni is telling the Christians, listen, you have to help us because we want you to be a buffer. Would you willingly be a buffer? And the Christians are going, you want us to be a buffer? Do you know what's the salary of a Christian today and of a Lebanese person per month? $25.
I know.
They live on a salary. They have no electricity. Lebanon is dark. If you Google Lebanon now at night, Peter,
can't
you
see
will
it.
Cry.
You can't see it. I know.
You can't see it.
It looks like North Korea. Father Andre Mahana is here. And again, Lebanon was at once considered, you know, the most beautiful, and it's an incredibly beautiful place. The city's incredible. Arguably, there's an argument with historians on what is the oldest city in the world, and some people say Damascus, and some people say Beirut, and some people say Baghdad, and it's probably all, they're probably tied. But it is an incredible place, and now it's being destroyed, and it's a religious war. It's craziness. It's insanity. And it always gets back to everything that's always driven the history in the Middle East since the 6th century and before. Is there? What are you going to do, by the way? What are you going to do on Sunday as we come up on time? What's your show on Sunday?
Sunday is going to be amazing. You know the Schlapp family. You know Mercy Schlapp.
Sure.
She was the former director of strategic communication for the president, President Trump, at the White House. A very good friend. She will be on a show. And definitely she will be speaking about her perspective on faith inspired by Our Lady of Fatima. How did we come to President Trump and presented him with a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, asking him to basically pay attention to the initiative of peace from heaven, her perspective on how did the president defend family and freedom, marriage, and communism in Cuba, because she's originally from Cuba herself. And definitely the work of the Mission of Hope and Mercy in trying to stop him and making the president and the U.S. administration aware of the persecution against Christians. And so it's going to be a very nice episode.
Okay.
And thanks to you, to Katie, to John Medved.
Okay.
This is a person we were in touch with to do a lot of beautiful, good things. And we'll hear about it.
Listen, I love you. I'll talk to you this week. A dinner next week. George is talking about it, so... Father's show is Sunday mornings at 6 here on 710 KNUS. The two best shows on this radio station are Bird Talk and Father Andre, and the rest of us are on a... I love you, Father. I'll talk to you, man. Thank you, sir.
I love you.
All right, be good.
Ciao,
all right. The Beirut thing is, what an example. We're going to play a bunch of stuff on the other side. Colorado Peak Politics goes after us for daring to ask a question of this Gino Campana, who's running for Senate. Remember, they got all upset at Joey Bunch for daring to ask the musical question. I got to tell you something. It is the question. Heidi Ginnall is coming on the show this morning. We'll ask her. Did Donald Trump win? This is the question. And so according to this, and it is jive. It's no one signs anything. There's no one you can call and ask on the show. And I'm kind of angry at it because it's not. And first of all, I don't care if it's signed. This is like Harry High School, but they misspelled my name. And they didn't put down the call letters. And they didn't put on what time we're on the air. Billy, I'm so. And now in the world of the Republican Party, and God knows we witness every day, there's a bad question. And this is all part of the big lie. The other thing I want to do is play Channel 9 again yesterday, how the big lie has become central to being a Republican. These people have no idea how foolish they are by saying you can't ask a question. Remember we were told when we were little, there's no such thing as a bad question. There's only a stupid or wrong or ridiculous answer. Well, they don't even deal with that. Like, you're a Harry Potter guy, Billy. You had a great line.
Basically, the big lie in the Republican Party has become like Voldemort, because in the wizarding community, Voldemort is the man who cannot be named. Yeah. And now asking about the big lie is the question
that cannot
be asked.
And according to these guys, now it's a wrong question. Headline, GOP Senate candidate tackles media's BS questions with straight talk. What did he, after he fumbled with the question, then what did he tell you off air, Billy, just for the record?
Yeah, he said he enjoyed it. He said he liked the conversation. Yeah. He appreciated the give and take. Mm. He liked the fact he was allowed to speak, and he understands that there can be certain disagreements. But the one thing that we do have to come back to is that we asked the question, what did Gino say? He came down now. He did dance and tap dance. He did the soft shoe for a little bit.
And then he said,
but at the core, he said, Trump lost.
Now.
And that's great.
It's
you
not
need
mentioned.
To be able to do that.
It's not mentioned.
No, it doesn't. Of course not.
I still have respect for Colorado Peak politics. It's like so many things. It's lost.
Well, the thing for me is that why don't you have a byline?
Well,
I mean, the thing
please,
is, this is the Peter Boyles show. You put your name out there every day and your opinion, and yet they present an opinion, but they don't want to take responsibility for it. And I'm sorry.
Well,
I take major offense at this, because the Republicans and the GOP are the party of individual responsibility. When they say this, they don't take individual responsibility.
Well, peak politics is the...
Where are your stones?
Whether the House organ of the GOP.
Yeah.
And these are the people who are shot calling for the GOP. And if you can't answer that question, you can't take the next step. But to you people who write this, our door's open. Come on a radio show. Let's have a conversation.
Yeah. And it's important. It's important to ask that question, because
they won't.
If a vast majority of Republicans traffic and believe in something that is objectively not true.
How can I trust you?
Yes. How can I trust you? How can you get the average voter to trust
they
the
can.
Decisions you can make
they...
because it already shows that you believe something that is not factually
there
correct.
You go. And
that's a problem. It shows a flaw in your decision making.
We'll wait for the next segment because it's going to get worse. But Colorado Peak Politics, come on. Come on a radio show. Identify yourselves. Spell my name right. Also, what time we're on the air is important, because that's how we make our living.
Yeah, and the call letters.
And the call letters. Get the calls.
Yeah, get the call letters. At least let people that read that tune in to this BS show and hear all the crap that we're doing, please.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
Regardless, I know you guys listen because you wrote about what happened on the air. So you're kind of like the other side of... Media Matters. That's who you've turned into. You've turned into the other side. And it's jive. I mean, you've turned into Republican Media Matters, another stalker group. So shame on you, but we'll see what happens. Temperatures are dropping. Snow's coming down, and the Wolf is open, and Arapahoe Basin, I think, opens. And ski season right around the corner. It is going to start. Right now is a perfect time to take your skis and boards up for a tune-up, or maybe finally this year get new gear. John Marriott and the crew, we may be a Larson's stop this weekend. They got a big family weekend planned. Larson's Ski and Sport, located just south of I-70 on Kipling. Here it is. You're going westbound on 70. Get off on the Kipling exit. Come down the ramp. Make a left. Go back underneath I-70. Heading south. Look to your right. There's an empty VI Village Inn right next to a big wooden building, big box store. There it is. So rent your equipment now for you and the kids, boards, skis. You can rent demos with like renting new skis, buy new stuff, jackets, gloves, helmets, I mean, just anything and everything, car racks. Larson's is so convenient, you can stop on the way up the hill or on the way home. There's a big wooden building right next to the old VI, south of I-70 on Kipling. You're coming eastbound. Just stay on the ramp, get off on Kipling, keep to your right, go south, look out the window to the right side. Boom, there it is. Take it from me, John and the guys at Larson's, absolutely the experts at everything. I got friends there. After all, like 15 years, we represented them on the air. 7 days a week, stop in a day, tell them I sent you. Larson's Sport, L-A-R-S-O-N, larsonsport.com, 303-423-0654. Morning, everybody. It is 6:31, 29 before the hour on a Friday morning, 710 KNUS. Thanks for being here. 55 the high, and get a motorcycle out tomorrow. And I didn't get it washed. We went up for Steve Reams, me and a road warrior. Got a dirty motorcycle trying to clean it up tomorrow. And I'm going to play this part here about Dominion voting, and this has really gotten insane, and another take on this. But there truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. You want the best countertops, wholesale pricing. You need to contact Mitch Floria in the Art of Granite. We talk about Mitch all the time. The good man, Romanian kid, comes to the U.S. He's an expert. He's a craftsman. He can turn granite, quartz, marble, other materials into true works of art right in your home. Single residential install to large-scale projects. And Mitch and the team, and it is a team, so they come to your house first and schedule with their consultations. He's not one of those guys that are going to pressure you. He's like old-school European, really fine, kind guy. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. You can look at the web, artofgranite.com. But look at your kitchen, and it's time. Now make the change. Mention 710 and get a free bathroom countertop with the purchase of a new kitchen countertop, or back the other way, get a kitchen or bathroom sink free with the purchase of any countertop package. Let him take a look at it. Let him change your house, man. Give him a call. He's our guy. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Or visit artofgranite.com. Artofgranite.com. As you know, there's a trial going on in Denver about the defamation suit against, I think, 15 or 16 people in a Denver courtroom. Now, yesterday here on 710 KNUS, a caller called in the 5 o'clock hour who really knew a lot. And I was really, you know, wow, this guy really knows. And he had said that a colleague of ours had spoken in a private group and they were damning this judge. And I put him on hold and I said, stay. And we took the top of the hour break and he disappeared, never came back. I don't know if he got a phone call, knock it off, or he had to do something or whatever. But he knew an awful lot about this lawsuit inside. So I've been following it. And of course, the big lie. So I'm no fan of Channel 9, but they have done great work. And tie this into the attack that they laid it down on us from Colorado Peak Politics. Now you can't ask the question. Heidi Gonzalez coming up. Her campaign manager resigned. Inside the Republican Party are the seeds of its own destruction. Remember this. The defendants in this case do not have to prove proof of the big lie. But truth is an absolute defense. If the defendants can prove that Dominion voting or Eric Coomer is an Antifa election fraudster, they can claim and end the lawsuit. They're not doing any of that. This is what happens now with the man who one time goes from America's mayor to the town drunk. They can't do it. It is the question. This is why it's nonsense what Peak Politics does, because this is the make or break. So, again, and listen now that apparently one of the defendants now starts appearing on another radio show. They play cuts, and he just goes after the judge, just like this caller did yesterday morning. They know stuff. And what they're doing is what Donald Trump did in the big lie. They know by August, and if you again, I've written now in the middle of the fifth book, nobody's suing anybody. And they're telling the president, look, you're down. You're going to get beaten. He says, well, they'll steal it from me. And what I think they're doing right now is calling soften the target. So when they're all found guilty, they'll just blame the judge. It's another part of this. The big lie will continue. So without further ado, you guys did a good job on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, from last night, Kyle Clark.
A courtroom in Denver this week is the center of the debate over the big lie threatening America's elections. The conspiracy theory that the election was rigged against former President Trump by Antifa and Denver-based Dominion Voting Systems. A former Dominion employee, Eric Coomer, is suing to clear his name, suing the Trump campaign, and suing Joe Altman, the conservative leader from Douglas County who first made that Dominion election rigging claim. Politics guy Marshall Zellinger is along, so tell me, Marshall, will the people promoting the big lie finally have to put up some evidence?
Yes and no, because this is really about Eric Coomer. And instead of proving that the big lie was a lie, it's all about Coomer. He needs to prove that the people and the groups that he's suing lied about him and what they say he did, and that they did so with reckless disregard for the truth. What was said about him started with Colorado's Joel Altman, who started a conspiracy theory for which no proof has been provided, that Altman heard an Antifa conference call where Coomer admitted to rigging the election for Biden.
This plaintiff has to prove that it is false that he attended that Antifa meeting and that he made the statement that was attributed to him. He has to prove that that didn't happen. He doesn't have to prove that Joe Biden legitimately won the election. He doesn't have to prove that Donald Trump was deprived a valid and fair election. All he has to prove is that he didn't attend the Antifa meeting and he didn't make the statements that were attributed to him.
This photo from court today shows Coomer's team playing recorded testimony from Trump campaign attorney Rudy Giuliani. These last 2 days have focused on Coomer's team proving it has enough evidence to go to trial and lawyers for defendants like Giuliani and Altman trying to get the case tossed. Altman was in court here at the City and County Building yesterday, not today. Instead, he was on a podcast criticizing the judge who has his fate in her courtroom.
There are good judges out there. This is not one of them. This judge is corrupt. This judge marched in an Antifa protest in June of 2020.
He did not elaborate on what he meant besides what he said. No additional information about a judge and an Antifa protest. The claim he made about Coomer, however, if this continues to trial, Altman may need to provide additional proof besides, here's what I heard he said, it's true, trust me, end of story. Again, Coomer has to prove, however, that what was said about him in that supposed call was false and that it was done with actual malice, not that the entire election rigging conspiracy was a lie. Kyle, the courtroom is still going on right now. This is the last day, and I don't think there's going to be a decision from the judge. It's possible she could determine that some of the defendants are thrown out of the case, that they've proven, hey, you're not going to say we defamed you. I think she's going to take some time to go through all the evidence before we hear much of that, though.
You know, Marshall, I think that at some point this becomes really frustrating for people that don't think that there was an issue with the election and people that do think that there is an issue with the election, because court after court after court, the people making these election rigging claims have an opportunity. They have a venue to provide evidence if they so choose, and sometimes they haven't been able to, and in this case, they don't have to.
In a way, you will have evidence, but it's not, what's not on trial here, it's not the big lie that's on trial. It's simply somebody, one person saying, you dragged me through the mud and I'm going to sue you for it. And all that person has to do is prove how that happened, not that the entire thing, the big lie, came to be. So there's going to have to be a court case perhaps somewhere about the entire big lie if we want to see a definitive answer at the end about election rigging conspiracy theories.
And the guy who made the original Dominion Antifa election rigging claim, this local guy, Joe Altman of FEC United, I mean, he's an influential guy. He's collected loyalty pledges from a bunch of elected Republicans around the state, and he's consistent. Didn't like the voting system. They're in with Antifa. A journalist who doesn't write anything that he likes. That person's an Antifa journalist. And now the judge is Antifa, too.
I can't imagine that's going to play well when she's determining whether he continues on in this trial or not. She will probably be fair to what she heard in the courtroom. But when you have something like that happening also, I can't imagine that it doesn't have some sort of play in her mind as she's making a decision.
Marshall Zellinger reporting from outside court.
All right. Now, that's the case. So if, in fact, the caller yesterday morning who really knew all the inside dope, somebody's leaving that courtroom and tuning people up, and for Altman to attack the judge, they're prepping the target, you know, they're softening the target. And this is the Donald Trump trick, that Donald Trump begins to say, it's the big lie. They're going to steal it from me. It becomes known as the big lie, but they're going to steal it. And certainly, you know, he makes these kinds of conversations with people in October, makes them in September. They're going to steal it. And then he begins to steal the big lie. And I see the same thing. There's somebody out there that's been talking, saying things, and they're doing the same trick again. And for this guy, you know, to go on another show and attack the judge, they know that they're going to get clipped. I really believe that. I think they're pre-saying to themselves, this ain't going to turn out well because we're stuck. So what's our way out? We'll follow the bouncing ball. We'll make it's the judge. Watch what happens. I think they're telling you they understand the decision. And to be a Republican, now believing the big lie, is central to being a Republican. Look at the attack that comes down from the Colorado Peak politics. How dare you ask that question? Hey, screw you. And coming on a radio show this morning, Heidi Gannell, and I plan on asking the question. Danny Kaplis's law firm, I'm speaking on behalf of our good friends at the law offices of Dan Kaplis. These guys are the best of the best. Do you know that thousands of innocent people are killed every year, injured every year, cars, trucks, and motorcycles? Not their fault. You need the right firm, and it's Dan. Long successful track records. They have won the largest jury verdict case in a truck accident case in Colorado in the last decade. $25 million jury verdict against out-of-state trucking. That caused death and destruction on Colorado highways. Dan has won numerous multi-million dollar out-of-court settlements. Serious firm for serious cases. Righteous cases on a percentage fee basis, so good people all walks of life can benefit. If you have an issue, if you got something going on, somebody got hurt, you just need an answer. The firm is there, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, or hit dankaplislaw.com. It's CAPLISlaw.com. Morning, October the 15th, I'm being asked by somebody I have a lot of respect for, are they in direct violation of the court when they go out and speak about a case? Wow. And I believe it's happened. Certainly the guy yesterday that called the show knew way too much, and he mentioned a name that he had spoken to. And then
I think that it's only a violation of the court if the court has placed a gag order.
Okay, all right.
Other than that, it's just stupid because anything that you say in those interviews can be used as testimony inside of the court.
All right, so. Fair enough, because calling the judge, and we heard the call yesterday, said the same thing. But now it's going to be the judge. 710 KNUS, good morning. During the pauses, I'm watching the shoot, and I'm watching. I just dubbed it. Old radio guys telling stories, and with Jeff Hildebrand and Tom Mueller, episode 6, 710 KNUS /Peter Boyles, it is there. When was the last time you referred somebody who really did a great service for you? I had a caller this morning to praise Stack Optical. That's the stuff we're talking about. A restaurant, financial planner, plumbers, and our friends, our realtors, my realtors, Gay and Sarah, and the Ribble Group with Keller Williams Realty, DTC, for anyone who needs the best real estate services in our area. Gay and Sarah, famous for finding the absolute best programs for you, whether it's a zero commission program where buyers pay for all the commissions, saving you thousands of dollars. It's a 24-hour cash offer program. Or they guarantee to sell your home 100% of your list price, or they will pay you the difference. And it's Gay and Sarah, G-A-Y-E. Learn to read, Peter. Only Gay and Sarah, because they are the very best, are our friends, and you call them, they'll help you find the best program that's for you. The Ribble Group is 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD, or visit GayHasTheBuyers.com. Great website. Gay spells her name G-A-Y-E, GayHasTheBuyers.com. Please, if you got a question this weekend, thinking about buying, selling, just want some information, 833-301-SOLD, sold. All right, the phones, this is Jay. You're on the radio show. Good morning.
Morning, Peter. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, I'm good.
Good. Hey, I just had a question for you. Have you watched or been following this case with the illegal alien that was driving the semi-truck and killed all the people over in Golden? Have you seen any of that?
I just did a first blush, but probably not a deep dive, no.
you've been waiting for this to come along, so I had a chance to watch a little bit. I wish I could go to the hearings today because they're actually having a case. But if you look at the video of this guy coming down Floyd Hill, which we've all done, first and foremost, I believe from what I can see, it wasn't his brakes at all. He was on the phone, he was texting, he was doing things. And having gone down Floyd Hill a million times like you, you lose your brakes in an 80,000 vehicle, pound vehicle, you're going to go all the way to Golden, which he did. Well, also, after this happened, a friend that works in law enforcement said, as soon as the guy got out of the truck, he made a run for it. And they grabbed him by the nape of the neck. So, first of all, on live last night, the guy can't speak English. How in the world can you not speak English and not read a sign? How can you not see there's a truck ramp there? You don't even know what a truck ramp is.
Great call.
Perhaps where he's from, he has no idea what's going on.
Remember when the Bush-Clinton axis of evil, they wanted they wanted GATT and NABET, and they wanted the highway out of Mexico. And I remember at the time saying, how the hell? Yeah. And remember, they couldn't spec the trucks, the bald tires, bad brakes.
Right.
That was all the multinational corporations were shoving that. And one of the questions I asked was, okay, and I brought up, I don't know if I brought up Floyd Hill, but certainly, you know, Palmer Divide coming up south. And we've all driven that in the snow. Your point's so well taken. Hey, that's what did Simon and Garfunkel slip sliding away, man. That's a hill. No, your point's well taken. I don't know how he got a license, and maybe he didn't have one, or did he?
Well, he probably didn't. And imagine that he didn't have a CDL, which is a very tough thing to get. He also doesn't test his vehicle because all of that's in English. None of that's bilingual.
Yeah. No.
Second issue is he incinerated, what, four people? Didn't four people die? It was horrible. We watched it live on television. And then he made a run for it. The other item with him is that I watched him on the stand yesterday. And he was talking about how he had time to call his boss to find out what to do about the brakes going out on his truck. Really? Mm. If the brakes are out on your truck, you're not calling your boss. All you have to do is just lay a truck over on its side, embankment, party's over. Yeah. And unfortunately, the guy drove through everyone, and it was just horrific. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about the case. I know nothing more than this, but it makes me furious to think that we're getting away with this.
Yeah, and you've done it in – on a motorcycle, when you're like right at like the evergreen exit, you get you get ready and, you know, get in the right lane and like shifting down, coming down the hill, you can come along. You can see at night the brake hubs of those big trucks glowing red.
That's right.
And they always have warning signs. You're not down yet.
That's right.
You know, it says attention truckers, I've like you 1,000 times, attention truckers, you're not down yet. But the question really does seek a right answer, how the multinationals work, it was really, a lot of that stuff was really under Herbert Walker Bush and the Clintons.
Yeah.
They did it. No, they wanted it. Remember, they wanted the Amiro, you know, they wanted all that stuff. No, you're right. I hadn't thought of
that. They tried to build a road from Mexico right through Colorado.
Oh, absolutely.
They were trying to build a super highway going straight north out of El Paso or
that
wherever
was it.
And coming straight up here.
And
that's
that,
right.
That
I forget
what
it was called.
That was the one that had no roadblocks. You could cross. And, you know, we were saying, who's inside those trucks?
Yeah. And what's inside those trucks?
I've heard cops tell me getting out of the car and running is a form of car insurance. No, I'm not making that up. I mean, they get out of the car and run. Now you got car insurance.
Well, it's Floyd Hill also is deceptive because when you see the city, you think the party's over and the road is not going to be steep anymore. Right. And in fact, that is the steepest part of the road. And that's why that last turn is called Dead Man's Curve.
No, it is. All right, man, I'll take a look. Thank you. All right, we will continue. 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, episode 6 of The Shoot. Old radio, guys, and it's good. We got Heidi Gnall coming on. Frank McNulty's coming on. And again, we got attacked by Colorado Peak Politics. It's like, please. All right, Billy, get us back out of here. Friday morning, October the 15th, 710 KNUS.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.